And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Sometimes past you can really stick it to future you.
Yes.
You know? And you might think, oh, no, the me I am right now, this is my vibe, this is how I'm doing things, whatever, and this is going to last forever. No, no, it doesn't. And future you can get quite a shock.
Okay.
So I'm just asking everyone, just think about future you.
All right. Yeah.
It's happened twice to me on the weekend. So Friday night, driving up to Seddon, because we have our family catch up once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it was at my sister Kristen's house. So we spun the big wheel. It was her house. She had to get the food for everyone.
That's right.
And we all went out to her house, which is great.
Did she go buy pre-made lasagnas from a local establishment? And
no,
then...
I support local. She also supported local. A local pizza shop in Yarraville.
Okay.
Delicious. Delicious.
Yes, good.
Because, you know, we think, we really, really think about supporting local, mate.
Yeah, good.
But on the way there, because I was driving there by myself because Jimmy had tickets to an event thing already booked in, so he couldn't come.
Mm.
So I was driving by myself and I was like, I'm going to listen to some tunes of times gone by.
Okay.
And you know when you've got like an hour and a half drive ahead of you and you're like, I'm just going to listen whatever I want, volume up to 400.
Mm, so you put on K-Rock.
Obviously. But when I wasn't listening to K-Rock, I was listening to like hard trance from like...
Okay.
From like the days of 2004.
Right.
To 2006, right? Really niche, really great time for trance music.
Well, do you know what? It's funny you should say it. Not trance music based, but a while ago on my socials, I asked, what was the best decade ever for music and why was it 1999 to 2009?
Yes.
Because just
awesome.
Primo.
Amazing, right? Write that down. We should do that for another time.
Mm.
But anyway, so you know, that time about 6 o'clock me, I was just firing on all cylinders.
Sure.
And then, you know, like 10:30 me getting back in the car.
Yeah.
Volume 400 was not what I was after.
Surely, doesn't your car's quite fancy. Why doesn't it have like a standard volume that it starts at when you turn the car? You know, you can set that.
Yes.
No, bro, you can set that. So
you've said that before, but I didn't know if you were teasing me or not.
No, I had to do that in my car as well.
Okay.
Because that does, like, so our older, shittier car, that doesn't, there's no preset. So I will get in the car and usually I've been listening to a podcast. You need to turn it up a little bit because the voices are quiet. So then I'll get back in the car.
Yeah.
And it's like, but our other car that's a bit newer, I've got it set at a nice 7.
Oh,
so I went into seven is
okay,
the level.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So then when you turn on the car, always comes back at that volume.
All right, you might have to do that because what I was listening to was there's this trance song that's got the sample of, remember Johnny Depp's famous movie Blow?
Yes.
Right, and it's about him as this real life playing this, you know, biographical story of a guy that imported a whole bunch of cocaine into the States and all that sort of stuff, right? And there's him talking and saying this is grade A, 100% pure grade.
I know the audio.
And so that was the bit. There was no music. It was just his voice and volume 400. And I wigged out. I was like, oh, my God. As long as someone was in the back of my car.
Yeah, wow.
And it took me a second. I'm like, oh, my God, pass me. You have really let me down.
Right.
And the same thing happened on Saturday night. So
you
me
did
and the girls,
twice.
Me and the girls were in Dalesford, right?
Yeah.
And we're having a few vinos pre-dinner. And we're like, oh, let's put on like the best jams of 2000 era, right? Again, best decade for music around that era, that 10-year period, but late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, anyway. People know.
And, and so we were like, oh, my God, yeah. And, like, Pitbull, all of that was volume 400. And then so we turned the TV off. We're like, great, okay, let's go out for dinner. And we came home. We were in bed by, like, 10 o'clock. And then at midnight, this was one of these fancy TVs that looked like a artwork.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so my mate Tanya was like, oh, it's too bright. So she got up to turn the TV off art mode and it just went straight back on to 2000 jams, Pitbull at volume 400. I
know you won't be.
Yes, seriously. I thought we were being attacked. Seriously, I woke up straight up in bed and she's like, I heard you gasp from the next room. She's like, oh my God, Lauren's going to think we're getting attacked. Yeah. She didn't say anything. And it's just, do me a favour, okay? Always turn the volume down because future you will thank you.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
The internet is pretty divided about this one and people are jumping from one thought to another. A Melbourne woman has slammed a local restaurant. And when I say local, local to her, Yarraville.
Okay.
Over their cancellation policy, where she had to fork out $1,020.
Okay, too much.
Too much. Well,
straight up, think, too much.
Okay, see, and I wonder, that's how I was thinking too. And then let's find out our feelings together. So her name is Loretta. Now, she booked a table for six at restaurant Navi in Yarraville. It was a birthday celebration on Saturday. She woke up Thursday morning. She's like, I'm feeling sick. I'm going to cancel because I just don't think that I should be going to this thing and having an event. I'm not well.
Sure.
Whatever. So Thursday morning, cancelled. Saturday was the date.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
So the next morning on Friday, she got an email and she said, hey, that's fine that you've cancelled, but we're going to charge a cancellation fee to your card, $1,020. That's, you know, she was like, oh, I knew there would be a cancellation fee, but what? You're charging me the full amount.
Straight onto the bank, block that transaction.
Yeah. So it's a small establishment, right? There's not many chairs in there. They only have one table that fits six people. And they're saying, hey, that's a third of our restaurant.
Yeah.
It's a set course menu. It's $170 a head.
Yeah.
And that's where the money is coming from, right? Your full price, you cancelled. This is what happens, right? Mm-mm. She's like, look, I work in hospitality, so I understand. She had a look. On their website, it says you have to cancel within 48 hours. And on the email confirmation, when she booked the table, it says we require a minimum of 5 days' notice or the full menu price per person is charged.
5 days. Come
on. This is what they're saying. So the restaurant was saying, that's a third of our restaurant.
Yeah.
And so what we do is that we charge you that amount and then we go to our wait list, we go to our social media and we try and fill that table.
Oh,
if it
God,
does get filled.
We couldn't fill it. Oh, geez, that's terrible.
If it does get filled.
Oh, my God, we don't have to cook any
money.
Of that food. Oh, we don't have to serve that table at all. Yeah. How rough. Sorry, couldn't fill it.
Yeah. So,
I'm angry.
So they say, oh, no, see, this is why people are getting involved in this one because they're saying, so if we do fill that table, we give you your money back.
Sure. I call BS.
And so they've now, a spokesperson has gone to Seven News and said that the chef and the owner, his name is Julian, they attempted to call her and say, hey, we're trying to find some people for the table. If we do, you get your money back. But we're a small business. We can't afford to take the hit of a quarter of their restaurant missing without ample time to fill. No one really knows how to feel about this.
Define ample time. Define it. 24 hours. You've got 24 hours to put bums in those seats. Divide it up. Tell me you can't get three bookings of two people. Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh!
The thing is, I recently, back in December, had to try and organise a booking
for
10 people.
Yep.
It is impossible without a lot of places asking you to pay up front for 10 people at $120 a head, $150 a head. And I wrote back, I don't have this money just sitting around
why
that I can pay that.
Yeah.
And why would I get everyone to pay me 3 weeks before the meal that you're going to have? I understand restaurants and that. Like, I get it and it's tough either way. But
yeah. 24 hours and $50 a head, that's all you're getting. That is 24 hours and $50 a head is reasonable. If you push it any further than that,
see,
it's
but
on
then
you,
this
mate.
Restaurant is quite small. They use local produce and everything.
Don't set up a small restaurant then.
I know. This is why it's hard.
Set
where
up a bigger restaurant. I'm telling you where I sit.
A lot of people, they don't know. A lot of people are like, oh, I was with you. Now I'm with the restaurant.
No. I've had to do that. Where they give you a credit card number and they're like, we'll charge you $50. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I get it.
No,
that's
you
fine.
Run that credit card. It works. Duh. Of course it does.
Yeah. 6 5
2 2 2 2 2 2 1 7 1. You give me one extra number. I mean, sorry, cancel the last one.
How about this? So it's similar but different. We had that Bucks that I went to in Sydney weekend before last on the Friday night. We went to a steak restaurant on Circular Quay there, sort of around that area, and we ran up. There was eight of us.
Yeah,
and we spent just shy of a grand.
Yeah, right? Nice.
So it goes to the guy who was organising. Goes to pay, and then we would split it all later, and we sort of transfer money. Comes back and he goes, it was 1,100, and we're like, what? He goes, yeah, I got up there, and they were like, oh yeah, so it's $110 service fee. $110 service fee. And he's like, oh, sorry, where did you tell us that was coming? No, he goes, oh, well, it's just standard for over 8 people. And
we're,
And he goes, but we are 8 people. And he goes, oh, well, it's 8 and over. Oh, but you just said it's standard for over 8 people. So we paid $110 for the privilege of, it was an empty restaurant, cutlet table, a couple of people at tables, you know, floating around. We paid $110 for the privilege of all sitting together them setting up a table for 8 people, I imagine, and then also them serving 8 people, which they ordinarily would do because that's their job and that's their business.
Yeah, and so what makes a difference if the tables are separated by 2 centimetres?
Am I not paying for you to serve me as part of the cost of my meal? No, $110 on top. So $1,100 for the meal.
Nah, that is BS. That is absolute BS.
Mate,
sorry,
tough
times. On a giant rip this morning. I know we probably sound just like two people yelling, but that is unfair.
Also, first world problems, but you know what I mean. Times are tough for everyone, not just people in hospital.
Tom, Lingy, and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Today is my son's birthday, my youngest son's birthday. Jetty, happy birthday, Jetty, if you are listening right now.
Happy birthday, darling.
We had his party on Saturday. Mm. It was a terrific party. So I reckon about 16 to 18, 5 and 6 year olds racing around, clueless and having a great old time.
Interesting, leading an invite. Are you going to call up, Log?
Okay. Yeah. And it's nice that everyone came too. That's
yes, it is. Sorry to bring back painful memories to you, Log.
No, that's good.
No, they had a good time. I mentioned just before that Matty Stokes was there. His son, Wilbur, was in Jed's class.
Wilbur is the cutest name.
He's such a ripping little kid. Bless. Unfortunately, it was a soccer party at Kick Academy. Jetty loves his soccer. Mm. Had a great time. Poor little Wilbur copped a ball straight on the end of the nose.
Oh, that's the risk, isn't it?
Oh, yep.
And one of your sons again? Because last time Tom went there, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, that's true. Nobody put their hand up, and I bet you it was one of the bigger boys, either Max or Henry.
I've only just got the imprint out of my face off the soccer ball.
Well, poor little Wilbur, he was out of action for a little bit, but then he got back involved. But what I want to ask you two about, you two noticed this already. I never saw it because I'm not in social media land, but Dodsy on Friday night, am I right in saying, posted a photo of the lolly bags that she produced for the party on Saturday?
Mm. Yes, she did. And so it was like, I get to do my awesome lolly bags or whatever.
Yeah, she was so proud, as though she created the world's greatest things, and like it was the hardest task to ever befall her. Really, she just had a night off on Friday night and just put some lollies together. It's not that hard.
To be fair, looking at the picture, it did look like they all had a lollipop and a few of the Cadbury favourites in there, and that's about it. I was like, oh, okay, I guess they were awesome.
Well, okay, I didn't actually look at the photo. So I imagine what she means is that she painstakingly made sure that everyone had the exact same bag.
Well, that's what she was proud of. She said everyone got one or two of these sorts of things. Yeah. So is that the guy with lolly bags? Do you actually have to have perfectly shared across every single lolly bag? Kids just grab it. They take them home, shovel some extra sugar into their faces, which they've just had for the last 2 hours. Parents hate lolly bags because, oh, yeah, sure, have some more sugar. This is great. Does it really matter if they're mixed up or you just grab a whole handful of snakes, go in that one, and, oh, I got a couple of leftovers, go in that one?
No, because when you're the kid that gets a leftover bag, it's just, and you've got siblings, it's really sad. I vividly remember getting a lolly bag when I was a kid and it was full of the teeth and the bananas.
Yum.
I love bananas. I'm not a teeth guy.
And so my sisters and my brother got like Freddos and like snakes and stuff, and I opened mine and I was like, oh, thank you for my lolly bag. I'm very happy for my teeth.
Maybe you
and my bananas.
You needed to harden up a bit as a kid. Just, hey, you got lollies and
of course I have it to you. of all the kids.
No, but that's why you need to be careful with the lolly bag.
You're only on a sugar high. You don't even know what planet you're on at that stage.
The thing is, the rules have changed, and so, certainly us as parents, we are petrified of putting too many lollies into lolly bags. So you get other stuff. You get a little water pistol. You get, you know, there's a little novelty plastic crap instead.
Kids don't want those.
Yeah, it's going to end up in the ocean, but it won't rot their teeth.
God,
look how perfect your teeth turned out. Are you still wearing the same teeth from the lolly bag?
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on K-Rock 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom, Lingy and Loggy Gold.
A lovely weekend, girls' weekend. You.
Girls gone wild. Like? They're in bed by 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
It was funny, with the extra hour sleep as well. It was like we woke up, we're like, damn, so many hours in this day. Anyway, we broke a wine glass, as you do in the bathroom. You're getting ready for dinner.
Mm.
These things happen. Jerul's playing in the background. You know, what's girls to do? It broke. But when you hire a holiday house for accommodation, you don't have to replace any broken wine glasses. That's just the rules. It's the unwritten rule.
Yeah.
You might say.
Yeah, no, and sure. If your morals and your character is comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Lingy, how many holiday houses have you got? Have
exactly.
Stop breaking me glasses, he says.
That's where he's coming from.
I agree with you, Loggy. I say. Don't tell him,
Yes.
Couldn't be any more perfect.
I can't believe I'm hanging out with two criminals who just don't declare their crime.
Really? I paid for that wine glass for the weekend.
A glass criminal. All right. 5 2 2 3 2 9 5 5. Debbie's in Cariah. Morning, Debbie. Should Loggy have told on herself and paid for the glass?
I think she should have told them.
Oh.
Because when you leave the thing, do they do an audit on everything that's in the house? You know, it's like you've got to admit that you'd actually broken something.
Nah,
yes,
I wouldn't have thought so.
Debbie. Debbie's got honour and morals.
Sounds... Debbie, do you own holiday houses?
No, I don't. I wish I owned a holiday house.
Good problem to have. Sounds like a them problem is what I would say.
I agree. Tony and Cario, what say you? Do you have to fess up if you've broken a wine glass in a holiday house?
Nah, most certainly not. It's like taking the pint glass from the pub. You're not going to sit there and wave it in the air and go, look what I got.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony, come on.
It's not a bad point. If you're at a hotel and you break a glass in your hotel room, you're not going to, as you're leaving, you're not going to be like, and they'll just give you the pass back. And also just saying, you know, I broke a glass up there.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you did, they wouldn't care. They wouldn't sting you $10 for it.
Nah.
Surely.
They'd be like, whatever, it's in the cost of the room.
And it'll be passed on to the next person when we put the prices up.
No.
Again, sounds like a them problem.
Yeah.
True. Denise from Mount Dunedin, what about you? Are you with Loggy or do you have genuine moral fibre?
My morals aren't that great, so I'd probably just break it and not say anything, and I've done that before.
Denise!
It's when you break something like eclectic or some kind of design piece, and then they go, oh, that's like $500. And you're like, what on earth? I saw that at the reject shop last week. That's not.
Yeah.
It's not $500.
That's when you really.
Don't tell. All right. It
just dropped over the time. Oh, Denise, you're a girl after my own heart.
Let's go to Abby in Herne Hill. Abby, do you have to tell them if you break a glass in a holiday house, mate?
I just want to start. Usually I call and love Loggy and agree with Loggy.
Oh, no.
But
yes, Abs, come on, do
it. It's not a victimless crime. Like, I mean, I haven't stayed at many places, but, like, when I was staying at home and with Mum and my brother was like 25, so it was essentially an Airbnb for him.
Yeah.
And once it got to the stage where Mum's like, where's all my cutlery going? And we ended up finding it. He was just being really lazy and just throwing it in the bin, like with the rest of his rubbish and stuff.
All right. Well, I'm not like your brother, that's for sure.
No. I understand, but you know, wine glasses and crockery and stuff. And if it's a set as well, I'm really like, I like sets. So yeah, if it was a set of something, I'd understand why.
Look, I invite you, Abby. No, that's fine. I invite you, though. You said you haven't been to many holiday houses. I invite you to go and just smash all the glasses. It's so therapeutic.
I'll make it like a Greek wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Comes with dance moves, too. You can't
say it. Let's wrap this up with Emmy from Heighton. Emmy, I broke the wine glass on the weekend. Did I have to tell the people, or is it kind of a bit of a victimless crime?
No, I think you should tell them, and I think you should replace it. Because, I mean, if everyone did that, then, you know, by the sixth rental, no one would have wine glasses.
Yes, Emmy.
They have a cleaner that comes through, and it's their job to make sure.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to.
And you two wonder why I'm never going to invite you around to my house.
To your holiday house?
You'll just be smashing glasses at my house and go, oh, no, I didn't do it. The kids must have broken it.
Interesting that the only backup you really got there was a caller from Heighton.
No, Emmy was with me. Debbie was with me. Abby was with me.
Someone from Heighton.
If everyone broke our holiday house glasses, we'd have nothing left.
You don't get to live in Heighton in Newtown by letting people smash glasses and not pay for it.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Did you guys do April Fool's anything on Saturday?
Nah, because I'm an adult.
Yeah, is it still a thing?
Yeah.
It's still a thing. My dad tried to do one, but he rang my brother, who lives in Newcastle. My brother's got a 15-year-old son.
Yeah.
And he rang him and said that the basketball stadium that Paddy, my brother's son, was going to play at, the roof has collapsed. Text him and said that. Well, my brother's then taken that, rang the coach, rang the other parents, said, oh, hey, the game's all off and everything like this.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, Dad, April Fool's not a thing anymore, really, is it?
Well, my mum gave it to us as well. My brother Chris and I were in the kitchen and she's like, yeah, she's been known to do skydiving and she climbs the Sydney Harbour Bridge and everything. So she's done all kind of wild stuff like that.
Sure,
she's like, yeah, she's a cool mum. And she's like, yeah, I've been thinking of taking flying lessons. Like, what do you guys think? And we're like, oh, okay. I mean, cool. Bit weird and wild, but it's cool. And then she's like, I've actually already had a lesson. And we're like, oh my God, have you? And then she's like,
thought it was the funniest
thing
in the world.
Happy April Fool's! Almost fell through the window from laughing. Seriously. And we're like, Chris and I are like, ha, oh, good one, Mum.
Got us a ripper.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. You've been listening to the podcast.
Thanks for that.
And hear the show weekdays from 6 a.m. only on K-Rock 955.